Why don't we pray and read our Bibles? God, come to you and we thank you because you are so good to us. You give us these wonderful moments that we could come together and together sing and worship you. Remember you, Jesus. And now as we read your word together, we pray that what we read, that you would make living and active, that you would draw our hearts to you. You'd help us to know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we talked a little bit about bitterness. You know, that ugly kind of acid refluxy sensation you feel on the inside when you've been treated badly by somebody or excluded or hurt and left out. That sensation that makes us avoid certain people, not want to see them, not want to talk to them, not even maybe talk bad about them to other people, or sometimes, if it's possible, make them feel bad. If there's any way we could make them feel bad without us feeling, you know, getting blamed for it. We saw last week that feeling, not what we do with it, just feel that feeling, that sensation is sin. And letting it grow in our hearts is disobeying God. And when it exists inside of us, it contaminates us and it destroys. And I realized last week when we were done that I kind of left us with a bit of an impossible task because, well, the task was never have bitterness. Just don't have bitterness. Always inspect your heart, and when you see a little seedling of bitterness sprouting up, pull it out, and before it can grow taller. And that's a bit of an impossible task because, okay, bitterness comes out of the unfairness of hurt and pain, and we live in a world that is full of unjust hurt and pain. We are treated badly regularly. Life doesn't turn out the way we want it to many times. And that all adds up to making it almost humanly impossible to not feel bitterness with other people and with life and with God. And when we're treated badly and excluded and life doesn't turn out the way we want it to, it's an impossible task to not feel bitterness and not feel some resentment. And then that situation, I started pulling on that thread and I realized it gets even worse for us because we start seeing that the same things that make us feel resentment, that make us feel bitter towards other people, that they do towards us, we do the same things to them, to other people. We do the same things and worse. We're not better than anyone else. We don't treat people better than we're treated most of the time. We're not always good to other people. And so then we think about that, we realize what hypocrites we are when I'm bitter towards you because of how you've treated me, but then I turn around and treat somebody else in exactly the same way. I'm a huge hypocrite. And even worse than that, when we think about how poorly we treat other people, and we're treated, but we treat other people as well, we realize we offend God so much more than we even offend other people because we disobey him and we ignore him and we disrespect him and we doubt him. So then, together with the bitterness that we feel in our hearts and the resentment that we have towards other people, we also feel the weight of condemnation because of our own wickedness and our own badness. And the question for us today, but the question that we constantly answer from here in song and in the word is, what can rescue us from that, from both the bitterness that we feel towards other people and the guilt that we carry around? What gives us hope? And the answer, we know the answer. The answer is the gospel, the peace with God that we find in Christ. That's what can truly heal us. It's what can completely remove the guilt that we feel, the condemnation that you and I feel, and it is what can cleanse us of our bitterness and our resentment towards other people. The big idea today, we're going to look at some texts that are just some of my favorite texts, and we're going to look at them, and you're going to say, don't we look at those texts all the time? And we do. They're good ones. The idea we're going to see, though, is this. Jesus forgives us, And he gives us the capacity, the ability to forgive other people. He rescues us from our pain and our hurt, and he fills us with his love and his grace so that we can turn around and love other people and give grace to other people and forgive other people, even and especially those who have hurt us. That's why in a world full of bitterness and hurt, the gospel is our true hope. The gospel is the promise of God that he would restore everything that's been broken by our collective rebellion from Adam and Eve all the way through up to us, and that he would do that by sending a Messiah, a rescuer, someone who would save us, someone who would redeem us from our condemnation, someone who would start bringing the kingdom of God even into our hearts, someone who at the end of time would bring the kingdom of God in all of its fullness, the new creation, the city of God, God inhabiting with his children, rebels being punished, and God with his children forever. That is the promise of the gospel. And that promise is what was fulfilled was when Jesus came, when God sent his son. Every Sunday we remember that together. And especially this time of year as we wear red and kind of green and, you know, have trees and little manger scenes and whatnot. We're especially mindful. Jesus came. Let's read the story. Look at Matthew chapter 1. So when God began to fulfill the promise of the gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He was conceived through the Holy Spirit, not through the will of humans. Why? Because God was fulfilling his promise to send a Messiah, to send the divine rescuer, his beloved son. He was the fulfillment of that promise that was given almost from the beginning of time when the rebellion against God started in Genesis 3. Now, flip over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Like most of the texts that we're going to read this morning, we're dropping in the middle of texts and we're not taking into account everything that surrounds them. I would encourage you to do that this week as you look for things to read throughout the week in your family devotions. Read the rest of the texts that surround this. But for today, Galatians 4, we'll start in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And Jesus came to rescue us from our rebellion against the Father, to forgive us, to reconcile us with God. Because of him, through him, arrogant rebels like you and I can receive the adoption as sons and daughters of God. We can be born again. We can be full of the Spirit of God. That's incredible. And now, the story of the gospel doesn't just consist of the birth of Christ. We focus on that at Christmas, right? But that's the start of the fulfillment of the gospel. God fulfilled his promise to send the rescuer when Jesus was born, but then he fulfilled his promise to rescue us when Jesus died on the cross. Flip backwards to Romans chapter 5. We're going to skip a little bit. This is probably the most egregious example of skipping, so read this in its entirety sometime this week. But Romans chapter 5, look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is the egregious skip. Go to verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if we, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So the perfect Son of God, born into the world that he created, dies in the place, is murdered in the place of rebels, so that we could become dearly beloved children of God, also perfect like him in the eyes of our Father, completely reconciled with our Creator, who is now our Father. Because of the coming of Christ, both to earth and to the cross, we can be rescued. We can be rescued from the punishment and the condemnation of our own wickedness, and we can be rescued from the pain and the suffering that we've caused other people in our rebellion against God. That is the gospel. And then that gospel turns around and it transforms as it takes root in our hearts, as we surrender to Jesus. That same gospel starts to transform, should start to transform, how we treat the people around us. The gospel is what can cleanse us of our bitterness and our resentment towards the people who offend us, who treat us poorly. There's two more. So go to this one. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Look at how he connects the forgiveness we receive in Christ with the forgiveness we're to give other people and how we're to love people who are unlovable. Because everybody's unlovable at times, right? See, that should have been a time when we all said amen, because that was a moment of confession. I'll say it for us. Okay, verse 12, Colossians 3, verse 12. But put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, meekness, humility, and patience. So because you're God's holy ones, chosen ones, holy and beloved, then put on compassionate hearts and kindness and humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. This is, okay, just a side little thing. Look at when he says to forgive. It's not when the person comes and says, I'm sorry, and makes up for it, and you really think they're sorry. You know, you say that, I'm sorry, and you say, are you really sorry? And no, not that. It's not when they're really sorry. It's not when are we supposed to forgive. If you have a complaint against somebody, when somebody has done you wrong, that's when you're supposed to forgive. Independent of, okay, too much of a detour. Come back to verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, so to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. In the gospel, we can give grace to other people because of the peace and the reconciliation that Jesus gives us. We're God's chosen children. We've been forgiven. We've been treated with love from the Father even when we were his enemies. He came to seek us when we had offended him. His sacrifice reconciled us with himself. We have been treated so much better by God than we deserve. And in the same way, Paul is saying, we should treat other people better than they deserve. We should love other people. We should be humble and kind to other people, even our enemies. We should forgive when we've been offended because we have been forgiven by God. The grace that we receive in the gospel opens us up. It should open us up. It should free us to give grace to other people and to treat people better than they deserve to be treated. Jesus made that connection. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus made the same connection between the forgiveness that we receive from God and the forgiveness that we're supposed to give other people. At the end of the model prayer that Jesus starts by, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be," I'm showing my age by the words I'm using in that prayer, right? That's that was what was on the wall in the room when, in, I don't remember whose bedroom it was. It was the room when I would, where I'd have to go to take a nap. And I couldn't take a nap for some reason. Now I can always take a nap. I couldn't take a nap then. And so I would just read that plaque over and over again, and it was King James. So that's what got stuck up here. Read for in the middle of it. Drop in the middle of that prayer, the model prayer from Jesus, verse 12, Matthew chapter 6. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For so that's the prayer. And then he adds on a teaching about one of the lines in the prayer, and the whole prayer that he's just gone through. He adds on a teaching about one of those lines, maybe because that is a line in that prayer that just butts up against everything in us. If you forgive others their trespasses, so he's just said, forgive other people, forgive us as we've forgiven other people. And then in verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." What's he saying? He's saying that the forgiveness that we give other people is connected with the forgiveness that we receive from God. Receiving his forgiveness from God is connected with giving it to other people. He's saying that those who are forgiven, forgive. That we forgive because we've been forgiven. That the forgiveness we receive from God should flow from us to other people. And when it doesn't flow, Jesus says we lose that forgiveness. That's incredible. So those are the good news. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus. The Messiah came to give us peace with God. And then peace with God that we receive from him flows out to the rest of our life, and it flows out even, it's supposed to flow out even to those who hurt and offend us. The gospel frees us from our condemnation, and it frees us from our need to condemn other people. The coming of Christ brought peace to our world, especially when we are in Christ. So what should we do? What's an application for us? If you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, you haven't surrendered to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, the Father invites you to receive the peace that Jesus came to give you. But before you surrender to him, you don't have that peace. Neither the peace with God nor the true ability to experience that peace in your life with other people, to truly forgive the way the Father's forgiven you, because you still haven't received that forgiveness from the Father. But that is what Jesus offers to you. When he came, when he suffered on the cross, he came to offer you peace with himself. He came to offer you peace with those around you, to bring peace to your life between you and your Creator and those around you. And you receive that peace when you accept him as your Savior and Lord by turning to him, repenting, being baptized, and in that moment, surrendering to your Savior. And when you do that, you become God's child, and his Spirit fills you. And in this community, when you say, I want that, I want to surrender, I want to be filled with his peace, I want to have no peace with God, and I want to be able to know true peace with the people that I live with and the people that I love and that I just can't treat the way that I should, and I feel resentment on the inside, I want that to be washed away. I want God to heal me. Tell someone you can repent, be baptized, and become God's child. And for those of us who are Christians, what should we do? And both in this season of Christmas and always, we should remember the grace. We should always remember the grace that we've received. We should remember that time when we repented and were baptized and God showered his grace on us and we came to find peace with him. We should remember that because our Savior humbled himself and came to this world, and because our Lord went to the cross in our place, We should remember that. We should remember as we take bread and juice, remember his blood and his body. We should remember, and we should be grateful. We should thank him continually for the grace that we've received. We should thank him for his death. And we should also take advantage of this moment to recommit ourselves to giving that grace to other people, to recommit ourselves that the next time that I'm offended, that I'm sinned against, that I'm treated poorly by someone who should treat me better, I'll close my eyes for a minute and remember the grace that I received. Remember the juice and the bread that I'm about to drink and eat right now. Remember that, and then show the same grace to the person who's just treated me poorly. Why don't we pray? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, you are kind and loving, and no more do we see that than in the cross. Not only did you come to this earth, but you allowed your creation to brutally murder you. You suffered in our place, the suffering that we deserved. You give us peace and grace and hope and love. You make us new. We can call God our Father. We can know we're connected with you because we have your Spirit in us. And for that, we thank you and we worship you. God, we ask that through your Spirit, that as we go through this week, that when we are mistreated, when we're offended, when we're excluded, when we're in those moments when bitterness and resentment wells up inside of us, that you would remind us of how much you have loved us, how much you have given us. And give us the grace through your Spirit, God, to extend that same love to the people around us, especially the people who hurt us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.